What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3. The Fan, Mike McCarthy, is out of here. And it's time now for your NFL news of the day. C-Notes coming up here in 20 minutes. Krusty's Corner coming up at 3:40. Okay, so we got a lot of football discussions here for you this hour. Here's Wolchuk.
All right, if you maybe you're just hopping in the car for a late lunch, or you're just dialing up the Odyssey app on your phone, or at home, wherever you might be, and you're just turning it on.
Boy, do we have good news for you!
Woo! We got the news today. Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys, they're parting ways. He is no longer the head coach of your Dallas Cowboys. Shefty popped on Pat McAfee, as he does every single Monday. Here's the latest on the Cowboys coaching search from Adam Schefter.
So now we can start wondering about all the names who could be in line to be the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Who?
Who's
who
the top,
some
we
who's
should
top
think about?
Of the list? Yeah, who's the top of their wish list?
I do not know that factually. I really don't, because if you clearly,
Mike Tomlin, huh? They're thinking about trading for Mike Tomlin.
Oh. Wow.
Bill Belichick.
I don't see the Steelers trading Mike Tomlin. I just don't see it. I don't see it. Now, again, things can always change, but I don't see them being interested in trading Mike Tomlin, no matter who calls them and who checks in to see whether or not he's available.
That's just Jerry Jones doing hiring here, right? Not Steven or anybody?
Well, it's Jerry's organization, and obviously Steven assists him, and we'll see what they decide to do. But this is going to be a fascinating hire, because now also, by the way, you missed out on the window to talk to some of these coaches, mm-hmm. like Ben Johnson,
exactly.
Aaron
Glenn.
If you want to talk to them, you can't do that now.
Yeah, and I think they didn't want to talk to any of those guys. I don't think the Cowboys are coming to this conclusion like, oh my goodness, no, we can't talk with Ben Johnson. I wish they were, mm-hmm. you know, but I just don't think that matters to them. Mm-hmm. I don't get the Mike Tomlin hate, like the amount of playoffs that he's made with crappy quarterbacks. Like, how can you have a crappy quarterback and it was like, yeah, you're just never going to win with Tomlin? I don't get that, and I don't think the Steelers are going to move on from him. They just need to find a QB. To me, it comes down to Kellen Moore and Mike Zimmer. You know, those are the two guys I think that I'm circling.
Which is just so laughable when you think about how Kellen Moore is trending today because of how unimaginative his passing attack was yesterday versus the Packers. And people were feeling like, oh my gosh, similar to McCarthy's offense last year. Like the Packers knew they were running the routes for the receivers. Mm-hmm. And this is not the first time we've talked about poor passing concepts from Kellen Moore in a game where Jalen Hurts is throwing the ball for like, I don't even know, 130 yards or something. And tons of people have breakdowns on just how bad their offense and specifically their passing game looked yesterday.
Yeah.
And now Kellen Moore is going to parlay that into getting the job. Wouldn't surprise me at all.
Nope, wouldn't surprise me one bit. And that's why it's like, I'm for change. But I don't know that the grass is necessarily going to be greener on that other side. We will see. But I do think Kellen Moore would be at the top of their list.
And I think this, you know, my next take kind of goes to why a fresh GM would be so amazing. But I think the Cowboys are kind of bummed out about their cap situation and their roster. And I think it's hard to have a ton of enthusiasm for a product that you know is going to suck big time for at least 1 year, but for the foreseeable future as well. Like, I don't know a time, maybe 2011 or 2012, where the outlook was this bad in the medium to long term for the Cowboys. You know, so as they're getting ready for it, it's like, I guess we got to find some kind of coach to come in here and, you know, coach like six Pro Bowlers and 45 jobbers, basically. That's what we're heading to this offseason.
Yeah, and it'd be funny. Like, 2-1-4 said Kellen's going to turn him down. That'd be hilarious. I would love to see that. And, you know, it could be. Maybe Kellen just decided the way that he left the first time. He doesn't want to be
back. Nobody's turning
here.
Down the check and coaching for the Cowboys if you've never coached.
Maybe not. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know that this is necessarily a desirable place to coach if you're going to meet with that front office.
If you have options,
right now.
If you have options, but as an offensive coordinator, you're making a fraction. Everybody wants to be a head coach. Like, it doesn't matter how bad the Lakers are. If a basketball coach gets offered the Lakers, he's going. It doesn't matter how bad the Yankees are. You're going to go coach the Yankees, just like you're going to coach Barcelona. There are certain teams that just have a magnetism, and I think we're kind of immune to it because of how annoyed we are by the Cowboys. But to be on stage, the spotlight is on you constantly. It's just, it's something that the majority of people aren't going to turn down. I'm not saying nobody would, right? Because certainly there's coaches with skins on the wall that want to run their own program, that have options,
yeah,
you know, that would choose something else. But nobody else wants Kellen Moore.
No. And I guess the option would be you just stay with the Eagles and you try and just build, and hopefully I'm with a great team and that offense keeps humming along, and then maybe some other team with an offer.
Yeah, but you're not
offer.
The boss.
Hopefully that defense keeps humming along.
The other misconception here is the money aspect of it. The Cowboys aren't paying their head coach a lot of money. That's something that is not true. The whole idea of, like, we're going to write a check and, oh, Ben, like, that's probably a big reason why McCarthy's not here. They didn't want to offer him a deal or even talk to him about something. And I understand why. In a year, they probably would have been revisiting, hey, should we fire Mike McCarthy?
Yeah.
It's a very difficult spot to be in. But the money thing, the Cowboys are looking to probably pay as less amount possible for their head coach.
But it's still triple or quadruple what Kellen Moore is getting right now.
Maybe. I don't know what he's making.
One.
$1 million?
$1.1 million.
And I don't know if they're going to be paying him what they were paying Mike, because Mike's won a Super Bowl. So Mike was, what, at $5 million?
Yeah, I mean, he's still going to be doubling, tripling
his
money.
I mean, he's probably making less there than he was as the offensive coordinator.
You don't know when you're going to get another shot, and that $3 or $4 million represents your nest egg and your chance maybe to pay off a bigger house and set yourself up for the future. And plus, if you can make it happen with the Cowboys, you're a legend.
You are.
Yeah,
that's setting you up for life. There's no doubt about that.
And I think, Broadus, you've been obviously on this as well, and Schefter tweeting about it just a few minutes ago. Not only was a deal not close, it was not even discussed.
Yeah.
And I think Mike's like, all right.
Reliably reported, Adam. Well done.
Let's get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
It's just phenomenal.
No part of this do we want to be in anymore.
It's just been wasting time. And you can tell in Jerry's statement where he's like really trying to sell the fact that this was thorough over the past week. We had the opportunity to conduct a joint review, all aspects.
These discussions
were thorough and received an appropriate amount of time and depth to cover.
Tab
and Scotch and those guys did their job.
They're very good at what they do.
Yeah, really good.
Well, I think what it comes down to is Mike McCarthy wasn't given any sort of years in their conversation, right? This is going to be short term, and we're going to suck for the foreseeable future. If I'm Mike and I get other options from Chicago and New Orleans, I know what this is like. This is stressful. Losing here stinks, you know?
And I've got money.
I have money, but what if Chicago or New Orleans has offered me 4 or 5 years at $7 million a year? You know, I can't go to my wife and say, hey, I want to stay in Dallas for two-thirds of the money with 1 year and an option for a second. You know,
and if she's a football girl, she's like, are you sure you want to work for Ryan Poles, though, honey?
Yeah.
And he's like, yes, for the dollars I do.
I mean,
probably better than working for Jerry.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's
the McCaskies,
a place he decides, hey,
maybe she's a football girl.
We care a little bit more about winning than what they do here. I don't know. Just very quickly to interrupt with baseball in your home of the Rangers, and we do have an awesome deal tonight if you want to come by. 4131 North Central Expressway. We got Marcus Simeon here. We're going to have Cody Bradford here. We're going to have free Whataburger. It's our first hot stove edition. Baroki Sasaki hasn't told the Rangers he's out, as they're one of the latest teams. He's already told the Yankees, the Giants, the Mets, I'm not going to be signing with you. Rangers are on the list as well. No Dodgers yet. If it ends up being the Dodgers, I told you.
So we're still on this thing?
Padres or Mariners?
No, Rangers have been informed that
they're out. They're done.
They did not receive a rose.
Oh, man.
From Sasaki tonight. They're standing there right now, and Chris Young is giving his hugs goodbye to all the other general managers that received their rose.
He doesn't get the Sasaki, unfortunately. Despite Rex Ryan saying how excited he was that Mike Vrabel got the Patriots job and he wanted to kick his ass twice a year yesterday, he's the first person that's been told thank you, but no thank you, you're eliminated from the Jets head coaching search. So Rex Ryan's not getting the Jets job.
Sorry, Rexy. I'm struggling to figure out why they even wanted to interview him, to be honest with you.
They've interviewed. I mean, talk about a full-on search. The Jets really are interviewing everybody, it seems.
Well, maybe they're doing the thing, taking a page out of the G-Bag Nation's book, the what not to do interviews, right? Mm-hmm. Where you're bringing guys in and everything you hear them say, you're like, okay, we're going to make sure we do the exact opposite of this guy.
No go here. Mm-hmm. We're out.
Phil Savage is conducting that interview thing up there. He was good for Baltimore as Ozzie's assistant, then went to Cleveland and didn't have very much success. So,
It's Ben's brother. He's a big Boy Meets World fan growing up. Mm-hmm. Vrabel, though, did get introduced today as the Patriots head coach. Congratulations to them. That's a guy you swing and missed on. If you had any interest in bringing him in, maybe the Cowboys didn't. We believe he would have taken that job, but the Cowboys weren't interested. Tomlin apparently is safe in Pittsburgh. Steelers have no plans to fire their longtime head coach despite their sixth straight playoff loss. And I'm with you. I think if you're in Pittsburgh, you're probably like, this is annoying. We're one and done. We keep making the playoffs. But you got to kind of use the context here, guys. Like, who has your quarterback been since Ben Roethlisberger? This dude's winning games with Duck Hodges. Now, maybe that's the problem because now you're not bad enough to get into the top 10 to draft your next quarterback, but you're still in the conversation because that guy is going to give every single ounce from that team and get it out of there. He ends up winning 10 games again this year. He's never had a losing season. You don't fire that guy.
That would be the ultimate, though. We got to fire you because you keep taking mediocre teams and making the playoffs. We can't get the next quarterback as long as you're here.
You can't win a playoff game, Mike. You got to get out of here. But thank you for winning 10 games a year for us. Here was Ashton Jeanty with good old Pat Doney, our buddy, shooting his shot for the Dallas Cowboys.
I would love to play for the Cowboys. It'd be like a dream come true. Obviously, I used to play in their practice stadium in all our home games in high school. Even my freshman year, when we came down here for the Frisco Bowl, we practiced in there again. So it would just feel like I'm at home, honestly. And, you know, I ain't going to say too much, but, you know, Dallas, they've always had a good running back. And when they got a good running back, they play a lot better. You know what I'm saying?
He's not wrong. I mean, if you go through the list of years where they were really contending, it was DeMarco Murray, it was Ezekiel Elliott, you go back to Emmitt Smith. That's very, very true right there. You marry an elite back and an elite offensive line, and the Cowboys have been good. That's a crazy concept to have. But, yeah, I think that at 12, if Jeanty's around, that's also something they'd probably do. Go ahead and draft Ashton Jeanty.
I mean, as tough as the morale is or the spirit is around Cowboys Nation right now, I think that could make a lot of sense for the Cowboys to take a run or to get people excited. You're not going to do anything in free agency to get people excited. Drafting an offensive lineman might be the best winning move long term, but I think running back makes some sense for team building, especially if you look around at 12 and you're not sold on any of the other players because of injury or consistency. I wouldn't do it, but I absolutely could see these Cowboys doing it.
Yeah, I absolutely could as well. Nakobe Dean out for the rest of the playoffs. He had a knee injury. We saw him getting carted off the field yesterday. That's sad news if you're an Eagles fan. Although, man, maybe you'll get to the video of the heckling that was going on with that Packers fan a little bit later.
I thought it was so disgusting. I didn't even want to.
There were C words flying around. It was just despicable. Chargers lose. And that was a surprise, right? I mean, the Texans, we thought that they were dead and buried. Well, they come out, they have a spirited effort, thanks really to Justin Herbert, who just peed down his leg. But Khalil Mack now.
We need to start getting on Justin Herbert a little bit now.
I had started a year ago. I think Herbert.
No, I'm not just saying you.
It seems like everyone is now.
Everybody now.
Yeah. At the time, it was like, oh, it's the head coach, right? Yeah. It was the head coach. Oh, they're not helping him. Now you got a good coach. You got a competent guy in Harbaugh. And what'd you do in the first game with Harbaugh? You threw four interceptions. You cost your team the game, including a pick six there. So, like, Justin Herbert, it's maddening because physically, like, he's everything you really want in the position. He's mobile. He's got a cannon for an arm. At times, he can be extremely accurate. The touchdown pass he had to Ladd McConkey was like, holy hell, how did you fit that ball there? But then it's also like, dude, you are finding ways to lose games for our team. And then in the biggest moment, wild card round, two of them, he's thrown them away against Jacksonville in an epic comeback for the Jags. And then this year, too, Houston. Texans deserve credit as well. Their defense played a really, really good football game. Derek Stingley's a man beast. But now Khalil Mack is uncertain on his future. He might retire with the Chargers. So we'll have to monitor that moving forward. And congratulations to Josh Allen. Night before, Lamar Jackson goes ahead, sets the record in National Football League history, most rushing yards for a quarterback in the playoffs. Next day, what happens? Josh Allen says, give me that record, and he takes it right back. So again, in the battle for the MVP this Sunday, we got Ravens, we got Bills. Whoever leaves the field, depending on if it's Lamar or Josh Allen, one victorious should get the MVP. The other, maybe they own the record, but this is seesawing back and forth between both of them, and it will be throughout the postseason. And then Jalen Hurts apparently got credit the amazing Dallas Goedert play, which was an incredible play by Dallas Goedert.
Oh,
it was a man run after the catch.
The stiff arm was wonderful.
But I guess Sirianni's giving all the praise to Hurts. He audibled into that play that got Dallas Goedert the touchdown, so good awareness for him.
I knew there was no way Kellen Moore was drawing that
up. Definitely wasn't a Kellen Moore play. That was all Jalen. He audibled out of whatever play Kellen called, said, all right, let's do this, ends up working out. But with 1:11 left, you had Saquon Barkley just decided, like, I'm not going to score a touchdown here. I'm going to go ahead and slide down, which is the right move, unless you bet on him to have an anytime touchdown, in which case this is an ultimate bad beat. And Saquon Barkley, a lot of bettors were very, very sad after he decided to not go ahead and get in the end zone there to seal the game.
I think you house call that one, don't you? I mean, you're up two scores. This is just for fun. Is there a winning strategy to not going in?
I think you just
run the clock out.
Yeah, you ensure victory. You're in control of everything when you have the ball. But yes, you're still
you end
by
the game
scores,
right there is what you do.
Yeah, you're just able to end it. Your
no
defense doesn't have to go back
no
on the
more,
field.
Yeah,
you're never
yeah.
giving the game the ball back in that situation. Last thing tonight, we got Vikings Rams. Rams are the home team, and this is weird because like inside their division rival stadium in Arizona and Glendale, it's all Rams stuff. They got the Rams field. They got the Rams signage everywhere. But McVay wants to use the road visiting locker room because of continuity there. They're used to it. They usually play there. They go into the road locker room. So instead of getting the home locker room, which they're the home team, they would have been able to do so. He said, no. Attention to detail. Sean McSex, go ahead and trade the 12th overall pick. Bring McVay to Dallas. Please, Jerry, thank you.
Right on. Well, thank you, Wolchuk.
I love that.
Hell of a dismount. News of the day every afternoon, 3 o'clock here in the G-Bag Nation. Time now to hit the C-note. Top storylines from the Cowboys coaching search, which has just gone live as of about 4 hours ago. Krusty's Corner's coming up at 3:40, and we're back at the Nation. Let's hit the C-note here. Top headlines as it's a historic day, Cowboys fans. Mike McCarthy will not be back. News broke around 11 o'clock here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan, and we're reacting to it, talking about, you know, what happened and what could happen next. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. Okay, so Frankel injury attorney text line is open. I want to know from you, who would you hire as head coach? I think we'd all say Ben Johnson in here. Who do you think is going to be the head coach, though, based on the candidates that are out there at 877-881-1053? Gentlemen, I put mine on the table last hour. I think it's a choice between Kellen Moore and Mike Zimmer if I had to, like, pick what is most probable here. But I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on who you think at this point with the field wide open. If you had to pick one guy, who's it going to be?
Well, I have the odds right here. Kellen Moore is the favorite from Bet Online. And then it's primetime Deion. And then it's Cliff Kingsbury.
Didn't Jerry already shut down the Deion idea pretty much? And I know he says a lot of stuff, and it's hard to tell what you can take seriously and not. But
and Deion kind of shut it down himself. Like he said, he really just wants to coach his sons.
Yeah, I think
he's not going to get to do that here.
If he is going to be coach, it would have to be after the draft till he knows where his son is going, and then maybe start next year or start, you know, as a position coach with a team. But Deion Sanders would be shocking. I think you're flushing your money away.
Yeah, and all things could be more possible if the Cowboys were willing to money whip somebody and just not allow them to say take no for an answer. But we know the Cowboys' position on that. Kingsbury's third, then Joe Brady, offensive coordinator for the Bills, then Lincoln Riley, funny enough, as if he's, give me a break. And then it's Ben Johnson, Bill Belichick, Brian Flores, yada, yada, yada.
The Lincoln Riley thing is hilarious because I don't think the Bears, who have done a lot of interviewing and requesting, even requested to interview Lincoln Riley, and that's Caleb Williams' former coach. If you're interested in Lincoln Riley, to me, that would be all I need to know. I've got the player's former head coach at quarterback, and I'm not interested. So if I'm the Cowboys, like again, that would be very, very spot on for them. They're a little bit late to the party on this. Like 2 years ago, Lincoln was a sexy name. Not anymore. So it makes sense for them now to say, all right, let's do this with Lincoln Riley. I think you're right. I think Kellen Moore is number one. He's most likely going to get the job if he wants to take the job. And why? Because also then Jason Witten could be part of the staff, and maybe that's big picture whom they envision as being their guy, like they did with Jason Garrett. That seems to be a lot of the momentum right now. In a perfect world, it's exactly what I said. I would love to call the Rams and be like, guys, is there any way I can trade for Sean McVay?
I kind of feel like, though, and I'm going to throw you guys a curveball, I think Aaron Glenn's going to get this job.
I'd be interested in Aaron Glenn, too.
I think Aaron Glenn's going to have a really, really good shot at this job. I think he's going to interview very well. He's going to exude toughness. He's going to exude leadership.
That would be fantastic.
There's going to be a possibility that he's going to put together a very similar staff that, like they have at Detroit. He's got some connections. He knows young offensive coaches he works against. He's as a coordinator, he's worked against most of the really good offenses in the league. He might have an idea of who gives him hell when he has to call defensive plays. I think he's going to be, when he walks through that door, he is going to be a very confident person, and I think he's going to have a plan, and I think he's going to convince Jerry, Steven, and Will that he could work with him and talk to him about personnel and what they need to do and have a really good opinion on that, on team building.
So I would love that.
I'm gonna step away from the Kellen Moore world.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna tell you why you should hire Aaron Glenn. And that's the reasons why I just gave
him. I would love that. That would be the most exciting, because now he knows, most likely being on that staff, like Hank Fraley, their line coach.
Yeah.
Right. Can he call plays? Is he good at this? Because then you're able to bring over an offensive coordinator / offensive line coach that's done a hell of a job there with the Lions. So Aaron Glenn is probably the name that we're throwing around out of like possible realistic options, because he does have history in the organization having played here. That would get me the most excited and optimistic.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. You know, he checks all the boxes. He's going to build you a culture. I think he might have, the ability to insulate the roster and the guys away from the Jerry Jones noise and the entitlement here. You know, I just think as a program builder, as a culture builder, Aaron Glenn's the guy. And the fact that he's worked with Ben Johnson, he has an up-close appreciation for how important the motion is on offense and running it that way. And obviously his defensive chops are really, really good. And if you're going to win with this team moving forward, I think with Dak Prescott, your defense is going to have to be elite, bro.
Yes.
Which could go to, you know, maybe hiring a defensive-minded head coach. Speaking of that, you know, Pete Carroll, I think whenever you're talking about older guys, you know, over 65, 70 retirement age, whatever you want to call it, I think that's going to have a higher probability with Jerry Jones and the Cowboys than others, because he likes
Bill
the experience.
Parcells, he did that with Bill Parcells, you know, and you know, can Pete Carroll bring in, you know, we'll see the type of staff that he can generate. I think that's going to be huge, whoever gets this job. Like, if I'm Jerry Jones, you have to convince me not only about you doing this job, I need to know your coaches. I need to know who you're hiring as your line coach, your linebacker coach. Because, hey, I think we have a pretty good one in Al Harris here. You know, would you be interested in talking to Al Harris? You know, I think there's some ways that I would try and see how this all works out. But to me, it's, you know, there's a lot of inviting things about, just don't go for a guy just because you have familiarity. Go for the guys that you feel like have been in the best programs. Now, you know, you say this about Aaron Glenn, you know, the Saints were winning with Sean Payton when he was there. As a player, you know, he's seen like the good and the bad. But yeah, I think everywhere he's been a winner. Yeah, that's the thing. Give me the guy that's a winner. Give me the guy that can hire the staff. You know, those are the types of guys I'm interviewing right now.
And I'm with you. And that would be, of all the options here, that's a no-brainer home run, I would say. But, you know, he is a guy that's going to have options. Like, I think the Saints, the Jets, they really want him. You can't just give him some crappy deal and expect him to sign it, unless he has some affinity for wanting to coach the Cowboys that I'm unaware of. But the Jets and the Saints, they're going to come correct with a contract. The numbers and all that stuff, maybe whatever control, you know. So
I don't think he has to worry about control, because we know from experience that head coaches, whether they want to take the opportunity or not, do have a big say in what goes on with this personnel department.
Yeah, but there's personnel, and then there's like setting the tone of the organization, which I think was a bigger concern for Mike.
I think that, okay, I'm going to say this. I don't think Mike is a tone setter head coach. I don't. I think Mike wants everybody to like him. I think Mike wants to get along with the players. I think Mike wants to be that. I when you start to talk about tone setting and stuff like that, you got to go in there with that mindset. You know, Bill Parcells set a tone with this organization when he came in.
Yeah, but like who said it last week? I want to see Mike have a chance to do it his way. You know, maybe that's not setting the tone. Maybe it's doing
it
your way.
That was Mike Zimmer, I believe. Right?
No. Dak said that about Mike McCarthy, and then Jane had an article that she wrote that she interviewed a player that said that about Mike as well.
Well, okay. Do you guys see Mike McCarthy as a hard-ass coach?
No.
See, that it's hard to be a hard-ass coach when you're not a hard-ass coach. You can't fool players. You can't walk into a locker room and one year be a nice guy, and then the next year try and be hard-ass guy.
But you don't have to be a hard-ass to like get to choose your starting running back. You know, or have an owner that's not chatting with the media constantly. I think those are things of interest.
There was a time where Jerry and Steven, if you remember, Jerry and Steven were doing less interviews and less. They were trying, and they were letting Mike be the message. Yeah. You know, they were letting Mike be the message, and you know, but yeah, they can't help themselves. I think you're absolutely right about that. But if you show you have the ability to be that guy, that leader,
yeah.
I think they'll allow you to do that. Now, we'll see. I think that Aaron Glenn as a head coach, potentially as a leader, would be much different than what Mike McCarthy would be.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I don't know if you're competing against the Jets unless the money's ridiculous. Like, that is such a dumpster fire. If you have concerns with how the Joneses do things, wouldn't your concerns be even bigger with Woody Johnson?
Yes,
bought out of it.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, for sure. But he played for them. Like, he's clearly been, like, everybody's been tying him to either the Jets or the Saints. And I mean,
it is New York. If you love New York, there's only two chances to coach there.
Yeah. And if the money could be, I mean, double per year, I think that's
The money aspect, the Jets would money with him. The Jets would absolutely go ahead and pay more, I would assume, than the Cowboys would. But played both in Dallas and New York and then coached, I guess, with the Saints. So familiarity with all three. Mm-hmm.
Is it $4 million? Did I put Mike in the bottom 20% of the league?
Yeah, Mike was not one of the very high-paid head coach.
That's just crazy.
It's funny that, you know, Aaron Glenn, I mean, he's from Texas, right?
Mm-hmm. He's A&M guy, right?
Humble, Texas, I think, is where 52 years old. You know, we've seen like this. He's the perfect mix of leader, young, get your attention guy, played for the coach. That, you know, say what you want about, you have to admire. There's nobody in hell that wanted to go play in Detroit. I think there's people that want to actually go and play in Detroit now with what they're doing. You know, I can imagine. So Detroit, don't trade me there. No, I'm not going to sign in Detroit. I think if you go somewhere and you show people that you can lead and it pays off, you can get them to play anywhere. Now, again, can the front office stay out of the way? That's going to be the big question. The answer is probably no. But I think that, to me, I would make every effort I could to try and bring that Texan back home is what I do if I was a Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, no doubt. So Mike was at 20th in the NFL at 4. Ahead of him, Dan Quinn, Zach Taylor, Dan Campbell, Matt Eberflus, D'Amico Ryans. A lot of coaches in their first gigs. Nick Sirianni, Robert Saleh, Matt LaFleur at 6, Sean McDermott at 8, Doug Peterson at 8.5. There's a team that's willing to pay you as well there with the Jaguars. Mm-hmm. Mike McDonald just got the job with the Seattle Seahawks. He got $9 million. So there's quite, and then the double digit million club starts at 7th with John Harbaugh at 12, and you go through Tomlin and Shanahan and McVay and Harbaugh and Sean Payton at 18, and then your guy Andy Reid at $20 million a year.
Yeah, we just got a text from Sean Sharif, and he said that Archer reported McCarthy was actually making 8 per. Mm. So Sean's saying we were all wrong about the salary. So that's. I don't know if Sean, I mean, I appreciate him listening and stuff like that. I mean, he's saying
that. Yeah, where did that number come from?
I need to ask Archer that question, find out.
Because I saw that on Twitter earlier as well, that it was $8 million, and everywhere I've looked since, rankings.
Let me circle back on that for you.
Okay, Krusty's Corner's coming up next, though, Brian. Where are you taking it?
Yeah, there's a couple of things from these playoff games I want to point out of why a team won or a team lost. We'll do that next.
Thank you, Lucius. Mike McCarthy out. Who's going to be the next head coach? How much are the Cowboys willing to pay? Salute to Todd Archer for writing the story. McCarthy actually made $8 million this year. And salute to Sean Sharif for texting us there at the tail end of that segment. Just looking more into it and reading the article there at the break. When the deal was announced in 2020, it was said to be 5 years and $20 million. But there's a quote in there from Jerry where he says, you know, I'm going to pay you this much, but if you make the playoffs or win the Super Bowl, I'll pay you twice as much. So maybe that's what it was. You know, you make the playoffs in the three previous years. There's, you know, incentives and accelerations. And I don't know if that means that he's willing to give $8 million to the next head coach as a starting point. But I know for sure, you know, in his mind, it's we're going to have a base salary for coaches. And then the more success you have, the more money you make. I think maybe that's the most likely read on that situation. Anyway, it's time for Brian Broaddus in Krusty's Corner. Here's the king, Broaddus.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Hey, Chief, what are those pouch things you guys put in your lip?
A little Zen? Yeah, a little Leonard Zennard.
Did you see that your boy Vic Fangio Zins it during the games?
Wait, Vic Fangio's a Zen guy?
He's a Zen guy.
What's his flavor?
It looks like is the green one winter mint? Something like
that? Yeah, mint or winter green.
Yeah, winter green, winter mint.
Yeah. Okay, what's his milligrams, do you know?
I have no idea. It's like
he might be swinging for the nines. I can see him swinging for the nines.
Oh, man. It looks like the cans you guys have.
Yeah, I believe
green
it.
With the...
Good on him. He's dialed. He's got his defense cooking with gas right now.
Maybe bring him back as head coach.
That's the secret sauce.
Chief knows the best flavor. I don't know if he wants to let the cat out of the bag, though. They could be hard to find.
It's the coffee.
Oh.
Only saying it once.
The coffee ones? Is that just like double the intensity?
No, it's just the flavor. Double the flavor. Double the experience.
Double the fun.
Yeah.
But I bet Dick Fangio.
A lot of coaches are.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, players. I mean, it was actually hilarious. Whenever I was at Christie's hanging out with the fellas watching the games on Saturday, I go to the urinal to take a leak. Both urinals, there's nothing but just spit out Zins in pouches. You're just urinating on 12 different Zins from patrons in the bar.
Gotcha. Good deal. All right, before I get started with my the postseason from this weekend's game, I have like one, you know, nerdy thoughts. I like doing the nerdy thoughts for you now.
You're so nerdy.
You're a nerdy thought guy.
Chief, how is Mike McCarthy going to be remembered as a coach here?
Better than Garrett, but still underachieving and unimaginative.
Yeah.
Fourth best coach, I think, behind Landry and Jimmy and Bill.
Yeah.
Maybe third best.
I don't know with Bill. I mean, like I said, I wish Jerry would have got Bill when he was younger.
Yeah.
You know, and when he wasn't trying to make $15 million back, you know, kind of a thing. But I wish he would have got him where he would have got the full Bill Parcells, because I think they could have done some really good things. But I'd have to put McCarthy ahead of him.
Ahead of Bill?
Yeah. Even though Bill took that pile of
losing team, made them winners.
We were bad for three straight years.
There might not have been a year from that McCarthy coach that was more impressive than Bill going 10 wins and Quincy Carter as the quarterback and going to the playoffs. Now, they were one and done. They lost to Carolina.
Yeah.
But that was a damn good coaching job.
It was. I just don't think that Mike McCarthy... I just wonder if they need a tougher coach. And everybody you talk to over there feels like that Mike does a really good job with the players and understanding their bodies and and how much they go through on a weekly basis. Because they said that, you know, Garrett absolutely wore them out in practice. You know, the way that they practice with the padded practices and stuff like that. So I don't know. My hope is Aaron Glenn gets this opportunity.
I'd love that. I mean, out of all the options, that one seems like the best. But again, I mean, you missed out on an opportunity to possibly interview him if you wanted to make that call. So hopefully he hangs around.
I think he'll hang around. I think you're going to get an opportunity to talk to him. I hope the Cowboys do that.
So do you think at this point a lot of these vacancies, the dominoes fall after the Super Bowl? Is time on our side here with the Cowboys?
I think time is on our side here because I think there's some coaches that are willing to – I think Dallas is a big stage, as you like to say, Dawson. And even though all the things that come along with it, there is something to be in the head coach here. Sean Payton and I have talked about this a bunch. You know, that's a big stage right there, Brian. That is a big stage for a head coach to be on. You know, if you could work through all the things with the front office, you know, you have a chance. Because they people have seen, we've all seen Jason Garrett, what, got 10 years, 9 years?
Decade, yeah.
You know, so, I mean, if you just do what you have to do, but I would think that maybe some of these coaches would like the chance to interview with the Cowboys. I know talking to Mike Lombardi at North Carolina, I'd say, hey, does it change for you guys now with this job open? And he says, no, I don't think so. So, you know, Bill Belichick.
You better hope not.
Yeah. So I kind of felt like that, you know, that maybe maybe Bill Belichick, you know, would Dallas pay the $10 million buyout, you know, to get a chance to talk to Bill Belichick and then have to pay?
That would be the one guy I think where I could imagine that actually happening, the buyout.
The buyout. Pay that buyout.
Yeah, you know, because the way that Jerry has talked about him in the past and the skins on the wall, you know, I just think right now you got to look at this roster and just understand that Belichick's not turning this thing around, you know? And if you're Bill, do you want to come coach the Cowboys just to say you coach the Cowboys? Yeah. I don't know. You know, it's just such a depressing roster right now and depressing salary cap situation. Like, you know, you can pay a quarterback as long as you can restructure it to get his cap number low enough so you can go for it. But what if you've already done that so much, your quarterback is barely above average, and now you have a choice. Do we want him to count 90 mil against the cap or 50 mil against the cap?
Yeah.
It's just not workable.
Yeah.
You know, there's that, and I hate to say it, but right now I am as down on the Cowboys' chances of getting a Super Bowl in the foreseeable future as I've ever been. And that's saying a lot. You know, I've been down on their chances for over a decade, but this is as bad as it's been.
I think there are a lot of teams out there that are looking for coaches right now or hating the fact that Dallas now has an opening.
Oh, because all the guys want to see what the Cowboys have to say first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. I think the...
Not the top guys, though.
I think the top guys...
That's not holding Ben Johnson from doing anything.
I think if Ben Johnson has a choice, we'll
Vrabel
see.
And Johnson are the top guys. And
I think that if Vrabel was available, absolutely Vrabel would have taken this job. 100% certain that Vrabel would have taken
over the Patriots job.
Over the Patriots job.
I don't think that would have been a good decision.
Well, no, I'm
but
just
I mean, understand.
You know, it's your opinion, and right, I respect that.
Yeah,
but I'm just gonna tell you, I know for a fact that he would have absolutely loved this job.
But now all those teams that are trying to make somebody their coach, you have to wait now through this window of opportunity. You can talk to the guys again.
Oh, yeah.
There's no more dominoes are going to fall until people have a chance to talk with the Cowboys. Right. It's probably going to drag
you
it
can,
out.
You can interview some other guys if you want. Some of those, maybe you want to interview Jason Witten and guys like that. But anyway, I just feel like that there's a lot of teams out there now that are just that need a coach that are going, damn, we didn't expect Dallas to be in the mix on this one. So now they're going to really, I think they're going to have to compete. All right. Did you notice anything about the Houston Texans offense the other day when you watched them play? Anything with CJ Stroud in particular?
I noticed they were staying away from running the football until the fourth quarter.
Yeah. He was 13 of 16 for 223 yards and a touchdown on in-breaking routes.
Everything was inside, and it was just like three-step drop, ball out.
Yeah.
Three-step drop, or even just catch, shotgun catch, backstep, boom, ball out. I mean, it was like 3 seconds or less. Ball needed to be out of there.
This is what Nico Collins does to your offense. Remember him being out and all that, and he comes back against the Cowboys?
He's the man.
This is what, 13 of 16 for 223 yards and one touchdown. All in-breaking routes. That's where the Texans made hay yesterday. How about this one? Without Zay Flowers in the lineup, the Ravens' offense utilized two tight ends set on the season-high 69% of their plays. It's the second straight game of over 60%, 68 or 69%. It's actually 68.7 in Week 18 versus Cleveland. Across 50 plays with two tight ends on the field, the Ravens posted a 58% offensive success rate at 6 yards per play. Imagine getting in 12 personnel and just running the ball and being able
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. Oh. During the regular season, the Ravens offense averaged 7.1 yards per play with two tight ends on the field. That's what most everybody in the NFL only averaged most in the NFL, the only other team to average over 6 yards per attempt were the, were the Ravens with that.
Henry paid off pretty good, didn't he?
He did pay off real good. Bo Nix. He was pressured on 14 of his 27 dropbacks in the playoff debut against the Bills. That's 52% pressure rate he faced in that game. Ouch. That's the highest pressure rate he faced as a rookie. Despite his heavy pressure, and this might give you some hope for Bo Nix, he completed 8 of 11 attempts under pressure, generating a season high of 127 yards and a completion rate of 73%, with a success rate of 50%. Now, how about this? Nix was not nearly as effective from clean pocket, completing just 5 of 11 such passes for 17 yards. So when they pressured him, he was a stud. When they didn't pressure him, he was just a guy.
When they clogged it all up for him and said, just go ahead and read this thing.
Read it up. Saquon Barkley finished with 119 yards rushing on 25 carries in the Eagles' wildcard win against the Packers. Most of Barkley's production came on runs to the left behind Jordan Mailata. 97 yards on 18 carries, 5.4 per carry. He forced 6 missed tackles on the day, all on the ground, gaining another 77 yards rushing after contact.
I mean, no disrespect to Christian McCaffrey, but for my money, Saquon Barkley is like the best guy we've seen in the last decade. You know, there are so many of his runs where a guy's getting a piece of him, and he can reset his balance without losing much speed at all. And you're getting, you know, a lot of these breakout runs would be a short gain or no gain with a ton of running backs, like almost every other running back. He's just, this year at least, has been different. Again, I'm not paying him that much money. Right. I'm not drafting for that. But when you get it, it is just incredible.
It's helpful.
Yeah.
My final one here is about Jayden Daniels real quick. Jayden Daniels completed 9 of 15 passes for 108 yards and 2 touchdowns on 3rd and 4th down dropbacks in their Commanders, their win against the Buccaneers.
He had to put the cape on. First and second down was bad for them.
Yeah, they picked up 8 first downs on his 3rd and 4th down passes is what they did. He threw past the sticks 12 of his 15 attempts for 80 yards, tying a career high. During the regular season, Daniels converted a first down on 43% of his 3rd and 4th down dropbacks, trailing only Justin Herbert's 2020 season among rookie quarterbacks since 2016. So Jalen Daniels get it done on those clutch downs, 3rd and 4th down when they needed him the most.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40, here with the former Cowboys scout, NFL insider. What are we doing next, Chief?
Sounds of the sports day. We got dueling doinks and a coach short-circuiting right in front of our eyes next in the nation.